You're listening to Treasuring Mothers with your host, Jenny Baxter.
My guest today is the host of a TV show, Be That, Jo Burruss. Welcome.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Oh, it's lovely to talk with you. Now, I don't know a whole lot about Be That, but can you just fill us in? How long's it been going and what's the whole idea behind it?
It's going really well. We have just wrapped up season two, which just finished airing as well on ACC TV. But the whole concept behind it is it's designed to create connection, conversation and change. So it's bringing some of those life topics that you generally don't, you know, talk to your girlfriends about over coffee, or you may not feel comfortable bringing it up, but it's things that we all face. And so the topics are written by clinical psychologists. So it's not just, you know, girlfriends getting together going, oh, I'm having an issue with this and not knowing how to get through it. And then sharing stories of people that have actually journeyed through that thing and found freedom on the other side.
So who are some of your guests been in the last two seasons?
Oh, gosh, so many. So we have two guests per episode. And sometimes it can be a married couple, because there's Be That Marriage episodes, there's Be That Woman, Be That Man and Be That Family. So we just have everyday people that have journeyed through a certain situation. One that really stands out is Pete Cunningham, who's a guy that lives on the Sunshine Coast, and he was speaking into the deceptive roads to addiction because he lost his brother to alcohol abuse, and him talking through how he's come through that and is now helping other people. And yeah, there's lots of different topics. There's a lot of ones, you know, setting the tone for our life, which I guess is one that definitely applies to mums, because we know if we wake up cranky, most of the house ends up cranky. So there's, yeah, a range of different topics and guests that we've had on the show.
And what is it that inspired you to be in part? Have you been part of it since the very start? What was the thing that really makes it sing for you?
I love being real, and we all struggle with things, and I think it's good to have these conversations so that we know we're not alone in it. And it was actually my best friend Katie's idea, her concept. And I remember she rang me one day and she said, oh, I've got this idea for a YouTube show, will you host it? And I was like, yeah, of course I will, that's fine. And then within a few weeks, we're, you know, through conversations, I'm in talks with ACC TV and they took it on. So yeah, I have been there through the whole thing, and it's just amazing to see where it's going and the feedback that we're getting from people about what these conversations are doing for them, because there's topics that go for each episode as well. So if something really resonates with you, you can actually go on, download it and work through the topic. So it might be a marriage one, a parenting one, just to get a bit more insight and help into what you might be facing.
And that's the thing that I'm trying to get to with Treasuring Mothers too, is to start some of these conversations that we all know we struggle with stuff, but we don't really, we're not very honest. We present, especially social media, present that beautiful persona of my family's gorgeous. However, underneath, we don't talk about those things so much, do we?
We don't, and I'm really passionate about being real. I mean, you don't want to be someone on social media that's constantly negative, because we all have negative days and thoughts, but I think it's keeping it real. I think that's one of the biggest pressures on mums these days, though, is that pressure to prove that we're good mums. And I don't think social media helps that, having the Instagram-worthy home and, you know, the perfectly dressed children. And I call my life beautiful chaos, because I'm like, it's beautiful having kids, but it also is quite chaotic a lot of the time.
So tell me a little bit about your family. How old are your children and what are they up to?
My oldest daughter, Mia, is 10 years old, so she's in year five, and she's an incredible little artist who blows us away with her artwork. And then we've got Evie, who's eight, and she's in grade three at school, and we are sure she's going to be a preacher. and then Jake is the youngest, he's five, and he's in prep this year. So it's amazing to see all their little personalities coming out and their individual gifts. You know, you pour so much into your kids and it can be quite relentless. But, you know, at these ages, we're starting to see some of that hard work paying off. So that's encouraging.
Yeah, it really is a long-term project, isn't it? And as you say, personalities are so different and so complex, and so you wonder how they can be so different to
each
other.
I know, coming from the same family. I remember my godfather, who had six children, said to me, you can't cookie cut your kids, you can't raise them all exactly the same way. So I think it's finding what works for each child in discipline and, you know, what their love needs are and how they feel supported and encouraged, I think. But yeah, definitely a learning game.
Yeah, definitely. So you've managed a bit of a transition from, well, having children and presumably being around them a lot to working. How have you got through that time?
Well, I actually didn't have the luxury of staying home full time. So generally once my baby was one, I'd go back to work 2 days a week. We were living in Sydney and the cost of living, and it just wasn't doable for us, for me to stay home full time. But I always had the deal with my husband that I would be home more with the kids than I wasn't. So I needed to be with them more than at work. And we made it work. I worked as much as I needed to keep food on the table, and then was with the kids the rest of the time. Or I'd start early and he'd do the morning shift, and then I'd get home from work early and pick him up from daycare early. So we've just done what we could to survive. But now that they're all in school, it's a very different season.
Yes, that does change things considerably. I completely agree with you there. And yet it's still a busy period of life, isn't it, when they're still growing and your parenting is challenged to the limit probably every day. And that's just normal everyday life for a lot of people, isn't it?
No, juggle is real. I'm actually surprised at how anyone can hold down a full-time job and have kids in school, because there's so many things happening at school. And I remember someone saying to me, a wise woman who was in the same industry as me, I've been in radio for, you know, 15 years on and off, and someone who's done that career and raised three amazing kids said to me, they're going to need you more as they get older. She said, they won't remember so much those younger years, but they're really going to need you as so later primary and into high school. And I'm really finding that. I find I'm investing a lot more into them. Not the physical and immediate needs of, you know, bottles or breastfeeding and all those nappy changes, and but the emotional, the navigating friendships, the working out where they fit in the world, and all those deep conversations. I'm finding it's really true that they're needing me more as they get older.
Yes, and this is such a tricky world to navigate. So it's great to maintain those relationships. And I think so much of it depends on, but by the time they're 10, because when you hit adolescence, oh my goodness, if you haven't set things up well, then it can be a nightmare, as a lot of people know. But if you've done it well before they're 10, then it makes all the difference when they
yes,
hit that
I period. Think I might have done it too well, though. My kids, well, I mean, they tell me everything, which is good. But, I mean, last night, let's be real, I cannot wait to eat my dinner. You know, the girls had acrobatics and my husband had a boys' night. And so it was just one of those crazy nights where you just try to get everything done and get them to bed. And then my 10-year-old's like, Mom, I need to talk to you about what happened at school today. And she doesn't have short stories. I'm like, can you give me the condensed version for tonight? I'm like, I love that you tell me stuff, but all I want to do is eat my dinner and chill out for a minute. So, you know, it is good to have those open conversations, but, you know, there's moments where you have to take a deep breath.
Definitely. Hey, and in your work with Be That, and it's amazing to think that you're doing a TV show specifically for women in such an amazing way, but what are some of the things that you've noticed in terms of issues that women are facing at the moment that are coming through?
Oh, man, I think comparison's a big one. We actually haven't done an episode on that, but I just think, especially with social media, there's that whole comparison to be like each other. But I think it's important for us to know what our own strengths are. Like, I laugh about the fact that I am not a crafty mum. I hate anything to do with crafts. I'm happy to cook and bake with the kids, but, you know, anything crafty. And then, you know, you see these mums with amazing bookweek costumes. And it's easy to, I guess, compare ourselves. And also, I think that you're giving so much to your family. We're not superwomen. It's, you know, you're the chef, you're the carer, you're trying to keep your home perfect, you're trying to look like a supermodel, you're constantly being needed. And I learned the hard way that I needed to find a way to fill my soul and my spirit, which I didn't do because, you know, 3 kids in 5 years and no family around for support, it's quite exhausting and draining. And I just never found that or never made that time to invest into myself, and ended up with anxiety and panic attacks and, you know, a pretty hard season of trying to work through that. So I think one of the big pressures on mums is to admit that we aren't enough on our own, and that's okay.
Yeah, and I think being that level of honesty is so important for people, and yet we are so busy, as you were saying, going, and not remembering to care for ourselves. It's a real trap, isn't it?
Yeah, and carrying that, I guess, even sometimes fear and anxiety for the future of our kids. I remember, you know, giving birth to Mia 10 years ago and freaking out that I wouldn't be able to keep her safe, because let's be honest, we're not able to wrap them in cotton wool and shield them from everything. And so that became a big thing that I've had to work through continually, is that whole fear of something happening to my kids or to me, and not being there like I need to be for them. And, you know, I love what it says in Psalm 55, verse 22. It's like, leave all your cares at the feet of the Lord, and measureless grace will strengthen you. Because I don't know if the mums listening feel the same, but sometimes you can feel weak and like you don't have anything left to give. So I think there's power in handing over all that anxiety of the future and all the day-to-day cares of what your kids are going through, or what you might be facing in your marriage, or whatever's going on. And, you know, finding the strength there to keep going.
Yeah, I remember having to make a really strong decision with my oldest daughter when she was only two or something, and she was going off playing with a friend who I wasn't sure that she was actually in a very safe situation. I was so stressed about it. I had to go, okay, God, I can't be there with her, but you are. Mm. I know you can see exactly what's going on. I know you can see that other mum isn't necessarily watching when she might run out the gate onto the busy road. So can you do that? Can you look after her for me? And that was quite a pivotal moment, I think. And you have to do that with each of your children at each stage. It doesn't just go away miraculously.
Yeah, absolutely. And learning to release them, I guess, as they grow up too. We did an interesting episode on emptiness and talking about, you know, letting go and releasing your children at different stages in life, so it's not such a big shock when they are adults and they're, you know, trying to pry you off them or something to go face the world.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be something we're navigating and learning all through motherhood, I imagine.
Yeah, that's right. And it doesn't stop. And my kids have now left home, so I'm the next stage on. But it's still there. I'm still concerned about them. We're still relating to each other. It doesn't end. And so I've suddenly realised in the last few years, actually, it doesn't finish when they leave home. It continues. It will continue for the rest of my life.
Well, we need to pray.
Yeah, exactly. Well, it's been so great to talk with you today, Jo, and I'd love to catch up another time. Let's see if we can make a plan for that.
That sounds great. Thank you so much, Jenny.
Yeah. Okay, thanks, Jo. Good to have you on the show. And today's guest was Jo Burros of Be That, a TV show that you can access via acctv.com.au. This is Jenny Baxter here. Thanks for joining me for Treasuring Mothers today. I hope we can catch up again sometime soon. Bye for now.
Thanks for listening to Treasuring Mothers. Be sure to visit treasuringmothers.com to join the conversation, access show notes, and discover our fantastic bonus content.